Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One. Welcome back on The Fan here. Brian McKeon with you until 6 a.m. We are halfway through divisional weekend, and I am joined by Ariel Epstein. Now, Ariel, I like to gamble a little bit, just a little bit. And I was very proud of myself this year because I went 59% on NFL picks this year, which I'm very proud of myself for. And generally, I don't like to post my picks on Twitter because people on Twitter only care when you're wrong. And I wanted to have you on because you've been right a lot lately. But today, you were wrong. And I saw that you tweeted out recently, apparently I'm not transparent by posting videos with my picks. Hi, guys. I lost some bets today for the first time since Tuesday. Ariel, would you like to have the forum of WFAN to speak to your haters?
It's just so funny because people will say, oh, I only see Ariel post when she's right, not when she's wrong. I say, well, I guess me posting all my picks transparently on Twitter 24/7 does not prove me showing when I'm wrong. Come on. My cousin doesn't know anything about betting, and we were together for my grandpa's 85th birthday, which literally just happened 15 minutes ago, and we were all at dinner.
Happy birthday.
And he said, yes, he's the best. He's the reason that I love sports. My Papa Marty, shout out to him. He loves WFAN, by the way. My cousin, who knows nothing about sports, literally asked me at 2 o'clock, where are the Bengals from? Like, didn't know that they were Cincinnati. She was like, what city? She says to me, and you know, I'm trying to text the guy. We're talking about, like, you know, we're like going on dates, and I'm trying to sound smart. She said, are the Titans going to win? And are the Packers going to win? And I said, yeah, I think so. I mean, like, I bet both of them, and I said they'd both cover the spread. And then she says to me at dinner, they lost. Oh my gosh, no way. She goes, I thought you're 100% of a better. I said, No one's 100% better. If they tell you you're 100% better, they're a liar. It said, you know, I've gone here. I have the numbers literally up right now on my spreadsheet before today. Okay. This is does not include today.
Okay.
I am 56 and 35 this month. 56 and 35.
That's okay. That's an okay spread.
Going into today, I go, okay, so granted, I've lost 35 times this month. Okay. I'm not telling you I'm 100% perfect, and I'm going to tell you that I have horrible months. December and November this year were the absolute worst 2 months I've ever had in my betting career combined. The worst. And then you come back stronger. You just have to trust the process.
It's just fantastic that when you finally get stuck. And by the way, I believe you had the Devontae Adams over, and the over you missed was about like 5 yards. You were one catch away from making it.
I had the receptions, too, and that did go over.
I played that one, too. I heard you in an interview previously in the week say that you didn't love the reception one. And I played that anyway earlier, and I actually did wind up hitting on that. But again, like, it's so subjective.
Well,
here's
the thing that's crazy. The thing that's crazy, and I was actually texting with one of the directors of a sports book earlier, like a couple of hours ago. I said, all week I went on the radio saying I didn't really like receptions because my numbers really pointed in the direction of either receiving yards or longest reception. This is before, by the way, that numbers are posted. The numbers were not posted on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when I go on radio calls. I just tell you what I assume is what I'll like based on the numbers. And even if there were certain numbers that were posted, like receiving yards, I saw 94.5 earlier in the week. And that was in some books, but not all of them. And there are certain books that I really like to use for props to distinguish which ones are the sharper books for props. Some books are more prone to giving out overs. Some are more prone to unders. And then when all the numbers came out within the last 24 hours and I was doing some shopping around, I said, ooh, you know, the receptions for Devontae Adams is actually the one that's getting more love from sports books as opposed to receiving yards and longest reception. When the market talks to you, you have to react. And sometimes it's not always accurate. Yet when you see certain books at the over minus 179, which is such a random number, but that's kind of where it was at today. Mm-hmm. It was like minus 179, minus 180 to the over on 7.5 receptions. and some books were still at minus 145, I said, I'm going to take advantage of over 7.5 receptions for minus 145 if other books are juicing it to close to minus 200. You just sometimes have to read the market, and that's what makes it so difficult to go and bet props so early in the week.
Yeah, completely agree. Let's go quickly through the games today before getting to the games tomorrow. This Bengals-Titans game earlier, I read it as liking the Bengals. I get a lot of Jets 2010-2009 vibes out of this Bengals team. They're young, they're dumb, they don't know what it's like to lose, so they're just going out there and having fun. And I think we saw a pretty terrible performance out of Ryan Tannehill. I think Ryan Tannehill was exposed for what he was in this game. And I also think, Ariel, there's no way you can convince me that Derrick Henry was even close to 100% in this game. They put him out there as a prop, no pun intended there. I don't think he was even close to 100% because you watch him on the field. He didn't have the explosiveness he usually has. But what did you see out of this game? Because I thought Tannehill, he's on this team because he's a great game manager, and he didn't even know how to manage the game in this game. He was taking way too many risks and turned the ball over way too much.
What I saw in this game and what I saw in the NFC game is that having the bye week is a detriment to you. Having the bye week compared to teams that are on a roll, teams that have the chemistry going, teams that have the game plan flowing, it hurts a lot of the teams that need to take that full first half to get back into things. Now, the Packers, I was really surprised by. I can't even make an excuse for them because it was just an absolute atrocity of what happened on special teams at the end. With the Bengals and Titans game, I laid the points with Tennessee thinking, how on earth did this Tennessee team become a one seed over the teams like Buffalo and Kansas City? And Tennessee without Derrick Henry had the one seed. It really scares me for what the AFC was all about this year, that Tennessee was able to get the first round bye. And they weren't one of those teams. And granted, Green Bay, I can't even make the excuse because the Packers lost too. Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill, and nonetheless, now you're talking about a team that's not really experienced with having to come off a bye in the playoffs. Nonetheless, you have to add in an extra piece and an MVP like Derrick Henry, who hasn't played since November, the last week of October. I remember I was in Aruba, and I didn't even realize that I was on vacation with my family, and it took me about a day or two until after Sunday because I removed myself from football for the week. And I was like, oh my gosh, Derrick Henry's out for the season. He hasn't played since the first week of November, election week. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're now trying to add in a player that you have to essentially add into your playbook, on top of the fact you just had a bye for a week and you haven't all played and connected, on top of the fact that you just got your first touchdown throw to Julio Jones a couple of weeks ago, there were just a lot of moving parts to Tennessee, and they just tried to be too cute, especially you could tell from going for that two-point conversion early in the game.
Yeah, I found them so fraudulent this year. I believe a lot of people thought they flew under the radar when, like you said, they realized, you look at the standings at the end of the year and you go, oh, shoot, they're a one seed. They sort of flew under the radar, but again, if you watch them all year, they're not exactly great on defense, even though they look good today, but that's more of the Bengals' offensive line, in my opinion. And you look at Tannehill never really got the chemistry he needed with Julio Jones because of injuries and everything like that. Derrick Henry getting hurt. I mean, we forget, Ariel, this team almost got caught by the Colts for the division title. I mean, they were 2 weeks away from getting caught by the Colts, so they looked a little fraudulent to me. And then I wanted to ask you on the Green Bay game real quick. Is it kind of becoming like a myth to you or like a fraudulent thing that playing in Green Bay in the winter and in the cold is such a detriment to a warm weather city team? Because I feel like we've seen this happen multiple times now where Green Bay's lost these home games. Yeah, it's cold. It's cool for us as fans. But I'm sorry, Ariel. They're not unbelievably dominant in the cold. They suffer from the cold as much as the other team suffers from the cold.
No, this was all just stupid mistakes. Looking at even just on Twitter, you would see a lot of the people bashing the Packers because it looked like they only had 10 players on the field for the game-winning field goal. There were a lot of dumb mistakes made by the Packers every time someone was on the field that's name wasn't Aaron Rodgers. Special teams, defense. Granted, Aaron Rodgers didn't look great either. I mean, this team couldn't put up even 20 points, and their team total was 26.5. However, the 49ers didn't put up a lot of points either. I mean, the 49ers shouldn't have even come away with the game. It was that punt at the end that secured the game for them in a sense that they were able to tie it up. The offense was not productive at all. The 49ers got lucky because the Packers made mistakes, and that's where the Packers messed up. So, no, I'm not going to read too much into the weather because I do believe that the weather did have an impact on the 49ers offense. It's just that the Packers messed up enough for the 49ers to take advantage because their defense is stronger than their offense. And what have we seen in the past? Defenses win Super Bowls.
So now that both road dogs took care of business in the first day, are you looking at tomorrow as the AFC and NFC championship games collectively?
Tomorrow I'm looking at, yeah, I mean, it's scary because, again, now we have to look at Tom Brady potentially hosting another NFC championship game, which is just completely mind-boggling because I really did believe that it was going to be Brady versus Rodgers. I just did not. I truthfully, I've never been so set. It was my favorite teaser of the week to have the Packers and the Bills in a two-team teaser. Packers at Pick'em and the Bills at +8.5. It was my favorite teaser. It was my biggest bet of the weekend. I just can't believe the Packers lost. But now you're looking at the Bucks, who have been winning games by an average of 20 points per game when playing at home, and they're up against the Rams, who have a terrible secondary. The Rams have a really good run defense. Their secondary is atrocious. They're bottom 10 all season against wide receivers, and they're bottom 10 all season against the pass. And for someone like Tom Brady, he can eat that up. Now, the Bucks also have a really, really tough run defense. They've been the best in the league all season, allowing the least rushing yards per game. That's going to be a really tough task for the Rams because the Rams only won last week, and I had the Rams. I bet them. I took the points with them, but I laid the points. I'm messing.
Yeah, against the Cardinals. Yeah.
Yeah. So I laid the points with them last week. I laid the three. And it was with the Rams now being able to, last week they were able to establish the run, and against the Cardinals it was like, all right, like if, as long as the Rams can dictate pace of play and establish the run and keep the ball out of Stafford's hands, then the Rams should be in good shape. However, now they're going up against the best run defense in football. And what are you going to do? You're going to make Stafford throw the football. Bottom line, you're going to try to make Stafford make mistakes. And the Bucs can do that because they have the best run defense. And that makes me concerned for backing the Rams. I'm backing the Bucs in the game because of how successful Tampa Bay's been all season this year, winning these games at home by an average of 20 points. And then on the flip side, up against the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills, I like the Bills in the game. I have the Bills at 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. I have the Bills at +2.5. And I just really like Buffalo because they already proved to themselves that they can win the game in Arrowhead. They did it earlier this season. Buffalo is the better defense. The Chiefs are bottom 10 this season against mobile quarterbacks. They're bottom 10 against receivers. They're bottom 10 against pass-catching running backs. There's just a lot of ways that the Bills can find to attack Kansas City. And the problem is, though, can the better quarterback prevail? Sure, of course. I'm just going to do like what today proved to us. The 49ers were the better defense than the Green Bay Packers, I guess, because they made less mistakes than the Packers did. And I'm just going to have to rely on the head coach of the Bills, Sean McDermott, and his defense to get it done in Arrowhead.
Yeah, see, those are interesting because I'm on opposite sides with you on both of those, showing how much we know. I'm more leaning towards the teams that are the hotter teams at this moment. I feel like every year when we get to this time of year, we're always finding the team that's running through at the hottest time. It could not be the better team, but because they're hotter, they wind up winning games at this point in the season. That's why I'm on the Chiefs in that spot. I think the home field in that spot's big for them. And again, the problems that were major for the Chiefs when they were struggling early in the year, it seems like they figured them out, right? Mahomes is back to not turning the football over. Their defense is playing better while not great. I think it skews a little bit of their defense numbers because their defense was so bad early in the year, I feel like it skews their defense's numbers when you look at them for the total for the entire year. So that game kind of weirds me out a little bit. You know, it's one of those things where if I lose either of those bets, I feel like an idiot. But if I win them, I feel like a genius. You know, especially the Bucks bet, Ariel. It's like, you know, you lose, you bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs. Most of the time, you're going to feel like an idiot afterwards. But you really think the Bucks defensive line and run stopping is going to be that much of a problem for the Rams? You know, you don't think the Rams offensive line, which has been pretty good this year, is going to be able to say anything about that?
Has the Ram offensive line helped Matthew Stafford from turning the ball over?
Well, you've had Andrew Whitworth out most of the year. I think that's real. I think missing your left tackle most of the year is pretty key.
You're right. Has Matthew Stafford, aside for establishing the run last week, stopped turning the ball over?
No, he hasn't. No, he's had a pretty poor year when it comes to that.
Right. So that's my point. And granted, listen, I mean, the thing is, the trend is pointing in the direction of Tampa Bay being successful at home. Now, the Rams have been a good defense, and their defense is good against the run. The Rams have still been a bottom 10 defense all year against the pass, and that's what's concerning, considering you have one of the best game managers and best passers in history of football in Tom Brady, And even though he doesn't have his wide receiver, Chris Godwin, I could see someone like a tight end, Cameron Brate, having a game. I could still see Mike Evans having a big game. I mean, there's so many players in the passing game for Tom Brady that Tampa Bay could take advantage of this Rams defense. And that's what scares me for backing the Rams. Their secondary all season has been very bad. And that's where Tom Brady can attack them. I always make this joke, and granted, I'm not always right. And we mentioned this at the beginning. Like, I'm not going to be right 100% of the time. I just hope to be right between 50 to 60% of the time, and I'll feel good about myself. Tom Brady, knowing that he's up against one of the bottom 10 secondaries in football,
he's going to feast.
He's going to pass the football as opposed to giving the ball to Leonard Fournette. There are so many times this year where I can look back and say, well, maybe if they listened to the prop I chose, they would have won the football game. Maybe if they just listened to the easy metrics that us gamblers have bet on, they would have won the football game. But usually if my prop loses, the team loses because they didn't listen to where they could have attacked and been more successful. Now, maybe this is just my ego. I'm just saying there's been many times this year where they did not attack the part of the field where I felt they could have been successful, and they've lost the football game. And that's just going to any team in the NFL this year.
So are you leaning more towards, for Tampa, longest reception props? Because if they're going to be attacking down the field in the secondary, are you leaning towards like a Mike Evans longest reception prop? You mentioned Cameron Brate possibly having a good game. Are you looking towards more reception props for the Bucs?
I would, yeah, you could look to the longest reception props for both these teams because both these secondaries are bottom 10 this year against receivers. I would look the longest reception. I also am looking, and it's an interesting trend, and I have to get my notebook out. My notebook is somewhere around my apartment. But there is an interesting trend that I was attacking last week where it's been more, and anyone who's followed me in the past year has known that I've loved the Bucs linebacker, Devin White. He was like 100-1 my bet to win Super Bowl MVP last year. He had the game-sealing interception. He had at least 10 tackles in every playoff game last year. And I bet on him last week, and he failed me after needing two tackles at halftime to go over his prop. The thing is, that's very interesting when it comes to betting against the Rams, is that the Rams have actually, if you're playing against Los Angeles, safeties have been doing a good job against them. And I want to get the exact number because I have it from last week. But I remember looking back and saying, wow, safeties like actually have more tackles this year against, oh, here it is, 13 out of the 17 games, so this is before the wild card round, 13 out of 17 games, safeties had 7 or more total tackles. That's why last week when it came to Arizona, I took the over on Thompson, who was a safety for Arizona, and he had 9 and 10 tackles against the Rams this year, and he averaged just over 7 against the Rams in his career. So I was attacking safety position. Unfortunately, earlier today when I was looking for props, there were no Bucs props available for defensive tackles. Just look at a lot of these safeties for the Bucs and seeing if you could find some to attack for Bucs safeties against the Rams, because that's the position that seems to do well. And going into the wild card game, 17 games, there were 17 safeties that had 6 or more total tackles. So that's just another good prop to look out for.
Chiefs and Bucks are currently, we're with Ariel Epstein, the prop queen from Yahoo Sports with us right now. Ariel, last one for you. I'm looking at the futures odds right now for the Super Bowl. Do you find any value in taking them now at this point? Because if I could scare you a little bit, the Chiefs and Bucks are considered the both favorites for the Super Bowl right now, and you have them both tomorrow, which doesn't generally trend well for gamblers.
No, I have the Bills.
Oh, yeah, you have the Bills. Okay, yeah. Well, they're third. So still, are you seeing any value lower? I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to be taking Cincinnati, but maybe a San Francisco at plus 500, that's still available? Or are you kind of off the market on Super Bowl bets at this point?
To be honest, I don't bet Super Bowl bets anytime now. I know some people will try to play the market. I don't play that game. I place my Super Bowl bets in the preseason. Maybe I'll find some good value throughout the first 5-6 games because if a team like the Chiefs, let's say earlier this year, were in a slump to start the season, you could find good value on them. I don't really bet them at this point. It's just, to me, something that, you know, like I could say to you, if you really want to play the market, you consider who would be the favorite if they faced off in the Super Bowl. If the Bills and the Bucks played in the Super Bowl, I'd have to assume the odds makers are going to make it like Bucks minus 1.5 solely because of Tom Brady. And that's when you have to look at money line value, because if you bet the Super Bowl right now, you could get some good value on a team that potentially could either be favored in the Super Bowl or a team that wouldn't be. Let's just say it's 3-1. I'm not going to get the odds board right now, but let's just say, what are you seeing right now in the Bills for Super Bowl odds?
+400.
Okay, so there's no way in hell that the Bills are going to be 4-1 to win the Super Bowl if they're an underdog in the Super Bowl.
Like, correct, yeah.
Like, that's how you have to look at it if you really want to place a bet right now. You have to look, how much are the Bills going to cost you as a, like, if they're in the Super Bowl? The odds are they're not going to be more than +250. Like, so if you're looking for value, then you could go bet it now, because essentially if you believe the Bills are going to get in the Super Bowl, you're going to get that 4-1 value basically of a money line for Buffalo. And that's the way you have to approach it, as opposed to just thinking, let me place a Super Bowl like winner bet, futures bet. You have to look at it. Who is someone I want to bet on that I'm pretty sure is going to make the Super Bowl, and this could be my money line bet.
I like that too, especially for the fact that if you're on Kansas City tomorrow, it's even still a good bet on the Bills, because you're almost hedging yourself at that point. If Kansas City winds up losing the game tomorrow and you have Buffalo to win a Super Bowl bet at +400, you're not going to get them at +400 ever again if they win tomorrow. So you might as well pick up the value while you have it now, right?
And they're going to be favored in the AFC Championship game because they're going to be the home favorite.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to get them anywhere near, because you'll get them as a favorite next time, and you're not going to get them anywhere near +400 in the Super Bowl at that point anyway. So I actually, that might be one of those that I put in, because I don't believe in the Niners next week. I don't know do you think the winner of this Rams-Bucks game is just going to watch the Niners? Because I didn't see much out of the Niners today that impressed me.
The hardest part is the 49ers were at a detriment because of the cold weather. Their offense had a really tough time today, and I have to imagine that 14-degree weather played a factor. Now you're going to send a warm weather team in San Francisco over to Tampa Bay, potentially.
Or a dome.
Tampa Bay or Los Angeles. The weather's no longer a factor for San Francisco, so now I can't even take that into consideration. San Francisco's defense has been pretty sharp all year, and if they go up against either of these teams, both these defenses have played the full amount of games that the 49ers have, so it's almost even. The only difference is I don't trust Matt Stafford at home against a team like San Francisco, who's played him now 2 times already, and now he's going to go up against, or you could go against Tampa Bay, who now you've got this quarterback controversy between Jimmy G and Tom Brady, with Brady saying, I'm still your master, or Jimmy G saying, you're no longer my master. I mean, there's a whole nother storyline under there, but either way, there's no more weather factor with San Francisco, and their defense I can buy into. It's just a matter of how banged up is Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't know we'll ever know the answer to those thumb and shoulder injuries.
Yeah, completely agree. Her name is Ariel Epstein, the prop queen from Yahoo Sportsbook. Ariel, can we find any stuff from you tomorrow? Are tomorrow's games a lock from you for your props, or can people still be looking out for that? Should people be fading you tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm going to actually be posting a lot of content. I have my Prop Queen video coming out on the Yahoo Sportsbook Twitter page, and I'll be reposting it on my Twitter page at Ariel Epstein. Tomorrow, what I'm keeping a close eye on is the over 18.5 receiving yards on the Rams running back Cam Akers. Tampa Bay allows the 5th most receiving yards to running backs in the league. I've also been betting on the Josh Allen rushing yards props. It's gone up from 47.5 to even 54.5 in some books. I got the over 50.5. The Chiefs allowed the 6th most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks. Drew Locke had 35. Allen had 59. Hurts had 47. And Lamar Jackson had 107 rushing yards against this Kansas City defense. And as for the sides, I'm taking the Bucks and the Bills. So let's just pray that my day gets better after today.
I'm sure it will. It's Ariel Epstein and Brian McKeon on the Fan. Ariel, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Good luck.